a multidisciplinary project between the Departments of Food Science, Human Nutrition, Occupational Therapy, and Health and Exercise Science at Colorado State University. And what I'll present today is we just finished this study, so I'll talk about our findings. Question I get when we talk about obesity prevention is why preschoolers? And this came out in my local paper in Boulder, Colorado a few years ago, and it was the first time we really started to see some press about obesity reaching what they called the sandbox. And as many of you may know, the obesity rates in preschoolers are increasing, and they've doubled in the last 20 years. They went from 7% in 1994, according to Ann Haynes' data, up to 14% in 2004, and unfortunately, they're continuing to rise. It's a often ignored population, and CDC came out a few years ago with this quote, basically saying there's a void. There's a void in obesity prevention efforts when we're looking at the preschool-age child. So at CSU, we have a program called Food Friends, and this is Ollie Orange and Tina Tortilla and Gertie Gouda and Marty Milk, and they, it's been about 8 years that the program's been going, and successful data that it's very behaviorally based, and we're getting kids to increase their willingness to try new foods in an effort to get them over their picky eating so that we enhance food choice and potentially dietary variety. So we've had this program going, and we decided, well, maybe it's time we need to look at the physical activity side of things. So we had a model in that we had Food Friends as the nutrition component, and we were hoping to add a physical activity piece that collectively the two would potentially become an obesity prevention program for the preschool-age child. With Food Friends, we have three pieces to it. We have a classroom component, which is a 12-week program, a teacher training piece, as well as a parent component, and we decided we would mirror that with the development of our physical activity piece. And I'm really just going to talk primarily about the classroom component today, but understanding that there's a teacher training piece to it and a parent component. Our project objectives, very lofty was the first one, but when you write an obesity prevention grant, you need to look at BMI. But so it was to look at the if we could alter the movement in preschool age children, as well as explore if we could improve gross motor development, physical fitness, and or physical activity in these kids. We use social marketing. We use social marketing design and development of Food Friends and decided that it was an approach we were going to continue to use with the development of Mighty Moves. I'm not going to talk about our initial planning or formative research, but we did extensive formative research with teachers and parents because they're the gatekeepers, and doing for those of you who work with preschoolers, doing formative work with preschoolers is a whole nother discussion. But when we look at the four P's of marketing, you can see the product, which is our goals and objective that I just mentioned, is about reducing weight gain as well as increasing motor skill, fitness, and physical activity. We decided to remain in the Head Start setting because it's a very supportive environment, not just of nutrition, but also of gross motor development and activity. And the price, and this all came out from our formative work, in that when we talked with teachers, the price of doing physical activity in the classroom was time. They only have the kids for a few hours. They have a lot of other mandates that they have to work on, not just academically, but health-wise with dental and oral health, and space. A lot of Head Starts are in modulars, converted churches, old elementary schools, so space was a limit, as well as equipment. For children, teachers and parents identified discomfort, whether children were shy, whether they had developmental disabilities, or if they were already overweight, would they feel comfortable in engaging in physical activity? So when we looked at the price, we knew these were the barriers that we needed to address in designing the program, which is the promotion piece in social marketing. Loud and clear from parents and teachers, it came out that superheroes was a theme that would reach this age group, both genders. They were very positive about using the Food Friends characters and continue to use those concepts to reach the kids. And parents especially were concerned with making sure that we could engage children's imagination in dramatic play. With all of the media with this age group, they were concerned that kids weren't using their imaginations like they used to. We knew that we had to develop age-appropriate lessons, and they had to be based on the Head Start child outcomes. And these are the standards that Head Start is based off of. With Food Friends, everything came in a big Rubbermaid bin. They wanted everything provided for them, just like we did with Food Friends. And most teachers had never had any training on physical activity or gross motor development. And so it was imperative that the program provide a hands-on teacher training for this age group. In program development, what we did is we developed a gross motor progression matrix, and we looked at the three gross motor skills of locomotor, stability, and manipulative, and looked at it from progression of the skill to adding concepts like force and speed, as well as into movement patterns in which you were coupling or multiple motor skills. We based everything on a social learning theory, which I'm not going to go into how we built those constructs, but they were built into the lessons, the activities, as well as the process evaluation. And then what I'll talk about a little bit today is our creative concepts and how we were going to engage the kids' imagination in dramatic play. So these are the Food Friends now with their superhero costumes. We added a eighth character, Bella Bean, down in the corner because we had three female and four male, and it was decided that we needed gender equity in physical activity. This took three rounds of and 3 months of going through because the target audience, initially Ollie Orange didn't have his shorts on, and a little kid asked me why Ollie was naked, and we needed to add his shorts back. Bella Bean was originally more of a kidney bean, and she was longer, and she was known as the dancing sausage or a weenie. And so we needed to make her not so hot dog looking. So the kids actually had a huge part in developing of our graphics. In addition to the group graphic, we have graphics in which they're partaking in physical activity, and each of the characters represents a gross motor skill or what we call a mighty move, and they all also have a superpower. You'll notice that most of the characters have equipment. Now, we were working with low-income audiences, and initially we did not want to have much equipment because we didn't want to give the impression that to do physical activity you needed to have equipment. However, working with preschoolers, they're very concrete thinkers, and they could not grasp what some of the characters were doing unless we actually put equipment into the graphics. To give you an idea, Howie Hamburger is all about biking in the playground, and he loves to be outdoors. And when he practices his mighty moves, he gets his superpower, and he can transform himself. So he can use his lettuce as a parachute, his tomato as a surfboard, or he can paddle on his bun. And as one little kid asked me, his bun does not get soggy, because if you put one little kid said, well, if you put bread in water, it gets very soggy, so how can he paddle? So they do ask very interesting questions. Each week, the program is 18 weeks in length, and each week one of the characters represented their gross motor skill or mighty move. And so for the first half of the program, they really focused on practicing their mighty moves. They would go on imaginary trips. Teachers identified that community building was very important. They also identified that with superheroes, it's great that we're using them and we love their physical attributes, but can you also teach kids that superheroes are kind, they're empathetic, they're cooperative, and really building character building with this? So on imaginary trips, they help Patty the policewoman, Fireman Frank, in the town of Healthadelphia is where the Food Friends now reside. We created a custom musical CD, and they go on musical journeys to places where food is. So they go to the garden, they go to the farm, they go to the farmer's market, the restaurant, and they help people in Healthadelphia with that. They also have a caping ceremony, and this is a little girl who just got caped. After the first half of the program, they demonstrate their mighty moves, and then they get their cape. And once they have their cape, they have their superpowers, just like the Food Friends. These are examples of our materials. I mentioned that we had a CD, and the CD also got sent home to parents to reinforce the activities the kids were doing in the classroom. The red spot is what we call a poly spot. It's a rubber mat. I equate it to carpet squares so that kids didn't poke each other. And then we had flashcards, which teachers used as a tool to introduce the mighty moves as well as the superpowers. We had balls and bean bags and scarves and other activity or materials that were provided to the teacher. So as a study design, we did this in 8 Head Start centers throughout Colorado, 2x2 factorial, looking at geographic location as well as treatment. It was pretty spread out across the state. We were in Leadville, which is at 10,000 feet and has snow 10 months out of the year. We were in a little town in Iliff near the Nebraska border, which is, if you sneeze, you would have gone through it. So very geographically diverse parts of our state. Program was implemented last school year, and we did recruitment and training very early in the year in September and October, and took baseline measures in October, November, and then the intervention started the second week in November and went through April, and then took post-test measures in April and May. Not going to talk about the process evaluation. We did quite a bit of that, and the program did teachers, it was well accepted by teachers, kids, and parents. What we did, and we did a lot of measures. I'm just going to talk about what we did with the kids, but we took height, weight, looked at motor skill, fitness, as well as physical activity. We also got physical activity on both teachers and parents. So on-site, we did our evaluation two ways. We did on-site, and then we sent information home through the child. We did height and weight, which we calculated BMI from. For fitness, we did sit and reach, sit-ups, shuttle run, 3-minute run. For any of you who work with preschoolers, getting them to run in a straight line is a challenge in and of itself. Each of the head starts based on what type of building they were in were different. We thought if they had a gym, that would be ideal. Unfortunately, that's too much space for them, and they run all over. The hallway was a little better because it corralled them, except they would get so excited they would then run into the wall. Or if you did it outside, they would pick dandelions and bring them to you. So there's challenges with assessment in this age group. For gross motor skills, we used the Peabody Developmental Motor Test, and this is criterion and normative based, and we looked at stability, locomotor, and then object manipulation, depending on their age and their developmental ability is where we started on the scale. On average, each test took about 25 minutes per child. For physical activity, we sent home with the child 2 pedometers, one for them and one for one of their parents, to put on. The literature had suggested that pedometers for population-based studies with preschoolers was a good idea. Unfortunately, at the time we started the study, no one had done that. But we did pilot test that in our university child care center. In Colorado, our large percentage of our Head Start population is Hispanic, so everything was translated into Spanish. And parents were asked to record daily step counts for both themselves and their child for 6 days, and they were compensated $20. And this was done at pre as well as post. So some of our results, we tested 263 children at pre-test. They were about 4 years of age, slightly older. 50-50 as far as gender, ethnicity was right on target with what our state Head Start data suggests, with 60% Hispanic, and we were 50% rural and urban. What we didn't expect to see was the data that 14% are overweight and another 26% are at risk. So collectively, 40% of the kids in our study are considered at risk or overweight. This is more on looks more like the national data than it does for Colorado. We get Colorado WIC data is significantly lower, but Colorado WIC data looks primarily at 2- and 3-year-olds, not so much 4- and 5-year-olds. At baseline, there was no differences between experimental and control. There was also no difference by geographic location, so we collapsed the data. The motor skills fell within the average range for the Peabody, except object manipulation fell in the below average category. Fitness test, there was no difference except sit-ups, so we excluded sit-ups from some of our analysis. Physical activity, we actually had a 70% response rate with return of pedometers, which we were really excited about. Daily step counts, about 9,500, which is in line with a study that just came out earlier this year, And they also, in that study by Cardon, they looked at accelerometers versus pedometers and found that 1 hour of moderate to vigorous physical activity was equal to 13,874 steps. When you use that as the threshold, we found that only 7% of our children were reaching the recommended amount of physical activity. So there's a lot of work to do in this age group, even though most people will assume that preschoolers are naturally active. Very quickly, we did see significant changes based on treatment in gross motor quotient, stability, and locomotor. We saw significant differences in physical fitness. We did not see significant differences in physical activity. When we looked at covariates, we saw classroom had an impact on fitness, which is not surprising. We need to look at this a little more to look at teacher attributes as well as the time the kids were in the classroom. We did not see an ethnicity difference, which the literature supports that you start to see about age four. Gender difference, we saw girls made more improvements in throwing and kicking, and they were more flexible. We did see quite a bit of difference by age and BMI, and I'll show you just a little bit of that real quick. You can see in three-year-olds, we increased their motor skills and fitness more so than in five-year-olds. Weight did not go up in three-year-olds, but it significantly went up in four- and five-year-olds. When we looked at it by weight status, you can see all the red in normal weight because they improved in everything, except they did increase in BMI. Overweight kids didn't improve as much as normal weight kids, only locomotor and shuttle run. Just to conclude, the program was well accepted by teachers and kids. We're in the midst of making slight modifications, and we'll be expanding to Virginia as well as throughout Colorado this school year. I think the target audience input was critical at all stages, and that's promoting that social marketing mindset. The dose of 18 weeks was adequate for increasing motor skills and fitness, but not for physical activity. And it was not long enough to see significant changes in BMI, which we did not really expect to see, but it was one of our study objectives. And so in conclusion, collectively, Food Friends with Mighty Moves, they have increased the behaviors that we feel are the foundation of behaviors that may lead to obesity prevention later in childhood and later in life. We do know that kids who have lower gross motor development tend to feel awkward and avoid physical activity. So if we can get kids to engage in activity by enhancing their motor development, that may be an avenue in which we can help promote healthy habits. And this is just some future recommendations that I'm gonna really just skip over. I do wanna acknowledge our funding from USDA as well as the Office of Head Start. And we did have fun. We dressed in our Food Friend costumes, but we also, our research team, I just want to acknowledge real quickly. Any questions?
Have opportunity for one or two questions. Can you stand up and shout?
We use Walk for Life speedometer. When we tested it, one of the things we liked about it is very difficult to open for adults, and so we felt that the kids would not be able to get in it and reset it. So pedometers are self-report, and there's bias in that if they reset it, which they could. So that's why we chose that one. One to every classroom. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. And they've all been, the classrooms that were part of the study have all been doing Food Friends for the last 5 years or so. So we had relationships with them, and they're thrilled to have the materials.
What's an average cost of, a tub?
Tub like that? We haven't cost it directly, but our Food Friends bin is about $500. Yeah. Somewhere, I'm guessing it'll be pretty equivalent. We also provided enough of 20 of everything, so every child had their own, so there was less sharing because we only could do it in 15 to 20 minutes. Thank you.
Thank you.